How many of you this morning, for some time in the last 3 days, stressed about what time it was? Anybody? Anybody get stressed on the way just to get to church on time this morning, or get everybody ready this morning, or you catch a glimpse into the Lutz household this morning where there was one person that flipped out 3 times? I won't say who it was. 3 times this morning about everybody being late. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And you guys can leave that up for a second. So this is Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, prophesying about what this one to come would be. And he says his name will be called, and we've looked at that the last couple of weeks if you haven't been with us. We looked at his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, and how Jesus is full of all knowledge and truth, and the one that understands everything you're going through, and gives the best counsel, the best advice of any person that's ever lived. And then the next week we looked at how this Jesus is and was Mighty God, God in the flesh of all of eternity, come to us in the form of a child because he had to bear the sin of all of mankind. Today, just for a moment, we see the phrase Eternal Father, which sounds a little confusing because there's nowhere else in Scripture where Jesus is called Father. If you know, if you've been in church much, there's the Trinity of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say, well, isn't that confusing? Well, in Hebrew, that word Eternal Father, it actually, if you translate it just the way it's written, it's Father of Eternity, which changes it a little bit, right? Father, the one, the source, that word can mean just mean like a dad, but it also can mean the source, the originator, the one who created all of eternity. And you think how long eternity is, by definition, it's endless, right? So you think just for a moment, this Jesus, this one, the one who was to come, Jesus, born in a manger, is the one who created all of eternity and holds all of eternity, even in the palm of his hand, even as a baby in the manger, still in control of all of eternity. And in light of that, think about what you stressed out about in the past couple days, right? Because time is not in your hands. And we fool ourselves into thinking that. You miss, some of you type A's, you have your planner, and you've got everything planned out for 2020 already, right? And some of us have no clue what we're even eating for lunch today. We don't have anything planned. But some of you, in the effort to try to control things and be on top of stuff, there's nothing wrong with planning, but an effort to try to control it because you think it's your life. Some of you right now are frustrated because you're not at a place in life where you want to be, and you're trying to figure out, when am I going to get there? Either when am I going to get out of school, or when am I going to get to vacation, or when am I going to arrive and finally know how to do this adult thing? And some of you are looking at it, and time is just flying by now. Because you get to a point in life and it's like it's just going fast. I remember when Gabby was just 2 and now she's singing solos like her dad. You notice who didn't have a solo. Right? I mean, and time just starts flying. It's just we fool ourselves into thinking that we're in control and we've got it. But hear me. Scripture says over and over, time is like a vapor. It's like the dew on the grass that's here this morning, gone by this afternoon. It's fleeting. It's gone. And so if you're fooling yourselves into thinking you have a whole lot of it and you're in control of it, hear me, clearly you're not. But there is one who is in control of all of it. And he's calling you today to stop worrying so much about how much you're in control of, and start living for what's truly important in the time you have. The one that created you, the one that holds all of time in his hands, never makes a mistake with timing. Did everybody hear that? He never makes a mistake with timing. Galatians chapter 4, the New Testament says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." When the fullness of time came. The verse we read first was from Isaiah and prophesied, "There unto us a child will be born." From that point on, they were looking for a child. Hundreds of years passed. Generations passed, and they passed that on, but generation after generation looks at it and says, "Where is he? He's missed us. He's forgotten us. He's too late." And it just seems to go down and down and down and down, right? And some of you now, you've lived a long time, and you look at our country, and you look and you say, "Man, it's just going down and down and down. Things are just getting worse. And where is God in all of this? Why hasn't he fixed my problems? Why hasn't he answered when I wanted him to? Where is this God?" And I'm telling you, you may not see it right now, but this God is always on time. And his ways are always best, whether you can see it or not, it is always best. You try telling that to a young woman named Mary, who suddenly found herself pregnant, and tell her God's on time. And she's saying, "No, this is not my timing." Joseph didn't understand that timing either at first, right? Ready to put her away because it would have been talked about and it had been, it just, she was not who he thought she was, maybe, and so let's just do away with her. But God appears in time through angels to say, "This is the right time, the right way," and you know the rest of the story. That's why we sing this morning. That's why we celebrate. We sing about a Savior. We sing about a God who's always on time, who's in control, and it always works best for his glory and for your good, even if you don't feel it this morning, and even if you can't see it, and even if it wasn't in your control to start with, because it never was actually. I'm telling you, there is a Savior that loves you and has your best in mind. The question is, if he holds all of eternity in his hands, and if he says that there's only way to experience that eternity with him by placing your faith in him, then the real question this morning is not even how stressed am I about time, but am I trusting and believing the one who holds all time in his hands? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Listen, I love, and I've said this before, I love Christmas. I love just about everything about Christmas. I spent 2 years in China. The first Christmas I came back, you know what I did? Well, I was working there, but I went to the mall. I never would go to the mall, but man, I missed the mall when I was in China. I missed Christmas songs and decorations, but hear me, all of that's great, and we love it, and we embrace it. Family together, Christmas morning is awesome, especially when there's little kids involved. It's so much fun, but hear me. And I know you know this, but I want to remind you again, it's all about one kid. It's all about one child. It's all about one who came because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, it's the promise, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal, everlasting life. Do you know that you have that? Because hear me, we've already established you're not in control of time. Today could be your day. It could be it today. Do you know what will happen? Do you know where you will go? Listen, that's a you and God thing. It doesn't matter what I say about you at your funeral. It doesn't change where you are. It doesn't matter what your family thinks about you. It's a you and God thing. Have you ever come to a point to the end of yourself to truly surrender to Christ and trust him with your life? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the privilege it is to sing about you and sing for you and to you, the praises that have been offered up here this morning. Because you alone are worthy. So Lord, I pray in this moment, in this time, that we would stop fooling ourselves and start trusting you and surrendering to you with everything. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Our time today, we're going to end our service today. We want you to interact. You have listened to people sing about a Savior. Hopefully, our prayer before this whole thing started this morning is that it would stir up something in you to want to worship this God. And so now we want to give you an opportunity. Before you walk out of here, we're kind of hoping this is sort of like the pregame pep talk that just gets you fired up so you leave this place and are a light to this community and to your family members that you're going to encounter in the next couple of days to shine forth Christ. So as we sing, listen, if you need to pray though, the altar's open, because I know Christmas is hard for some, and someone in this room may be struggling. The altar's open, and I would love to pray with you. If you want to know who Christ is, and you say, I've never really surrendered, but today's the day, I would love to introduce you to my Savior. Just come down here and talk to me. But if you say you know Him, then this is your chance just to sing back for His glory. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It's all for His glory. As He leads, you respond, and as we sing,